you were not with us last week, we are actually continuing the sermon from last week. This is part two of the Holy Spirit prayer list that we started last week. We got through 17 points in the scriptures as we took a walk together through the Bible. We're going to continue that walk today. And it all really began foundationally from the book of Luke, chapter 11, 9 to 13, where Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives." So that's a wonderful promise, right? "He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door will be open." And he says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, you fathers, give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father? He says, if a father among you, if his child or son asked for bread, would he give him a stone? If he asked for fish, would he give him a serpent? If he asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? And of course, we know humanly, no, we wouldn't do that. And he said, well, then how much more your Father in heaven will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So asking, seeking, knocking, these are the things that we're looking to do in our Holy Spirit prayer list. And I'm not going to read through all these, but you can kind of look as we focus. Hopefully in the PowerPoint presentation, what's being streamed, you can take a picture or just go back to these later. But we went through several points here and hopefully very inspiring. And I asked that those of you who heard the sermon last week, if you would pray through these. And I had somebody say, well, hey, 17 is too many for one day. No problem. How about just a few a day? How about just praying through this list to receive superhuman strength, to be turned into a different person, to have the Spirit of God fall upon those that would come to do you harm? There's so many wonderful things to specifically ask for, to seek, and to pray for. And God does this like an invitation. He's saying, look at what I did by my Spirit in all these different places of the Scripture so that you can see it, so that you can specifically ask, that you can specifically seek, so that you can bring the glory of God into your life and into other people's lives. And so we finished here in Isaiah chapter 32, verses 15 to 18, where the wilderness becomes a fruitful field by the Spirit of God. And now what we're going to do is pick this up in Isaiah chapter 59. So if you turn with me to begin here to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And in Isaiah 59 and verse 19, it says this, "So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west," the name of Yahweh, "and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." In other words, as the enemy comes in, the Lord drives back the enemy by the Spirit of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing to think about, that you can call on God to drive back that which comes against you and the enemy that comes to prevail over you, that we can ask God for the Spirit, and the Spirit sets a standard, sets up a banner, sets up a force against what is evil. And this is something that we should be relying upon and looking upon in our lives. And so let's add this to the prayer list, number 18 then, to lift up a standard and a hedge of protection against my enemy when the enemy comes against us. Let's turn over now to Isaiah chapter 61. This is maybe one of the most rich in terms of the number of points we have from this verse in the list. This is a verse here in Isaiah 61 that was quoted by Jesus when he began his ministry. And it says here in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God," that is Adonai Yahweh, "the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." What a beautiful set of verses of ministry that comes by the Spirit of the Lord, that Jesus himself said that he was fulfilling these words when he was on the earth. And you can read that over in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. But what I want us to think about here is just the whole spirit of ministry that is found in these verses. When you look at these verses and the ministry that's there, what we're seeing is how he was everything to everyone. You know, one of the coolest things about the ministry of Jesus, that when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things, to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, to comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn, to give beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord." When you think of the whole ministry of Jesus Christ, that what he was doing was being who he needed to be to serve those that came to him. Some people needed to be mourned with and comforted. Remember when he went to resurrect Lazarus? He knew what he was there to do. But when the people were sorrowing, what did he do? It said Jesus wept. He mourned with those who mourned. And yet, what was he there to do? To bring about great joy and rejoicing. And you see, one of the things that's so amazing that we should be seeking and asking for of the Spirit of God is that as we go into ministry, that God would give us whatever we need to be who we need to be to the other person. We talked about a verse last week that it says that Saul, when he was being anointed king and Samuel sent him forth, he said, "You're going to be changed into a different person and just do whatever the occasion demands." And Jesus did what the occasion demanded. When they brought the sick to them, he healed them. When the people came out to learn, he taught them. He preached the word of God to them. He gave them the gospel. When the brokenhearted came, he healed their broken heart. When they came bound and in iniquity, he set them free. He cast out the demons. He gave forgiveness to those who needed it. Jesus did what he needed to do in order to serve those. And in our lives, as we think about this point of Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, we should be asking God to help us have the Spirit to be who we need to be as ministers of his, filled with his Spirit to the people around us. Because it's sometimes you just need to mourn with people. And sometimes you need to give them that encouragement and that joy. And sometimes you need the power of the Spirit to heal a brokenhearted person or to set a captive free. Whatever it is, God is saying, it is the Spirit of the Lord. And here's what happened. Jesus went about doing these things. And when he came to the end of his life, he said, "Truly, if you believe in me, the works that I did, you will do also, and even greater works than these." You can find that in the book of John, chapter 14. Greater works. So do we put our faith in what Jesus said when we ask to seek for the things that he was doing and even greater works than these, that we would have whatever he wants us to have? And see, the beauty is we don't have to have any pressure on ourselves to perform in this, because it's not dependent on your strength. It's dependent on the power and might of Almighty God that comes to you by the Spirit of God. And so we can have a confidence as we seek God that he will give us what we need for every occasion. And it may not always be the way we want it to look like, but what we do know is that if we are seeking God, we can rely on him to give us what we need for every moment. And we will see that more as we continue on. So this point number 19 is a pretty big one, but it's to preach good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of prison to those who are bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort and console those who mourn, to give beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for heaviness, that they may be trees of righteousness, that God may be glorified in them. So that's a pretty big list of ministry, but all things that we find here in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. Turn with me now over to the book of Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And I hope what you see as we continue to go through this list this week is that Every one of these verses is opening up an invitation of a way for you and I to specifically come before God and to pray for help, that God would help us in what we need, and that His Spirit meets every need for us. It is so important, as Jesus said, that we receive of the Holy Spirit. It's to our advantage to receive of the Holy Spirit. Notice here in Ezekiel chapter 2, it says in verse 2, "Then the Spirit entered me when He spoke to me." So that's kind of neat. "The Spirit entered me when He spoke to me and set me on my feet." Set me on my feet. Now, why was He not on His feet? Well, He was bowed down to worship the Lord. And the Spirit then spoke and entered to say, "Stand up." And the Spirit entered Him and spoke and set Him on His feet. And this is one of the most important things to understand, that there are times in our lives where we might be bowing before the greatness of Almighty God, or there might be times in our lives where we're knocked off our feet and we're on the ground. And it's these times where we need the Spirit of God to come into our lives to lift us up, that we can stand on our feet. I can tell you the number of times I have prayed this prayer, "Father, pick me up. I'm down. Pick me up. I need You." And the Spirit comes and enters and picks us up. Notice here in chapter 3 of Ezekiel in verse 24, I just want to add one more verse to this thought. It says here in verse 24, "Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said, 'Go shut yourself inside your house.'" Now, this was not as a result of coronavirus, as far as I know, but He did tell him to go and shut himself inside his house. But the thing is, setting us on our feet for the direction that God wants us to go. What a beautiful thing. So to have God speak to us, to hear the Word of God and to be set upon our feet. That's point number 20. To hear the Word of God and to be set upon our feet. Now turn with me over to verses 12 to 14. This is Ezekiel 3, 12 to 14. And notice, this is verse 12. "Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. 'Blessed is the glory of the Lord from His place.' And I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." Now, the first thing I want us to notice here was that the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. In other words, He was on him. His presence was on him. His help was on him. His strength was on him. How much do you desire for the Lord's hand to be strong upon you? And just praying this one point in this Holy Spirit prayer list, that the Lord's hand would be strong upon me. He does that by His Spirit. He leads us where we need to go. He takes us with what we need to do. And just say, "God, I will go where You send me. Just please, may Your hand be strong upon me." Now notice as well that he heard the Lord's voice here in verse 12. And it says that the Spirit lifted him up and took him away. We're going to get into some of this now as we read on here. Notice in Ezekiel 8 and verse 3. So point number 21 was to have God's hand strong upon me. Why do we pray for the Holy Spirit? To have God's hand strong upon us. And now in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 3, "He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy." So how did he go there? In a vision. How did it happen? By the Spirit transporting him to that spot. Notice in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faces eastward. And there at the door of the gate were 25 men among whom I saw." And so again, we have the Spirit of God lifting him up, transporting him to the east gate of the Lord's house. Notice in verse 24 of Ezekiel 11, Ezekiel 11, verse 24. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to those in captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me. And so what do we see here? That the Spirit entered Ezekiel to transport him to places and to give him visions of these places that God wanted to share with him. How cool is that? That God, by His Spirit, can give you visions to help you see things, understand things that God Himself wants you to know. See, to me, this is one of the most intimate things that we can come to with the Lord, is that God opening up His heart and what He wants to share here with Ezekiel is something that we can be praying for and should be praying for. God, open up to me my eyes to see. Take me by Your Spirit where You want me to go. Show me the things. Now, God says He does nothing without revealing it to His servants, the prophets. He does nothing without first telling. So if you are saying, what's going on in this world, God? What's going on in my life? What's going on in the lives of people around me? This is the prayer point for you. Pray that God would give you visions and understanding that He wants you to see, to know Him. Ezekiel spoke to us many times how the visions of God were given to him, and these revelations were written down for our advantage to be able to see this. Also notice here back a little earlier in chapter 11 and verse 5. So we have a point 21 to have God's hand strong upon us. Point number 22 to bring visions and revelations to us. And now notice here in Ezekiel 11 verse 5. This is point number 23. Ezekiel 11, 5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak. What a wonderful thing to know when to speak. I've got to tell you, the older I get, the more I pray this prayer. I pray the prayer, God, do You want me to say something right now? God, should I respond to that email? Should I answer that text? And just asking whether it's a go or not. And so many times when maybe I wanted to respond with something that might not have been the best, or maybe it was a little more of an emotional response I was feeling, where the answer was just simply no. But also knowing when you have to stand up and speak. And to have the Spirit of God say, this is the time. Speak. Say something. That is such a powerful thing, to know the leading of God in your life. And to ask God, please, Father, give me Your Holy Spirit and tell me when to say something. What a wonderful gift that is, to know when your words can be of value, when you need to stand up against injustice or for justice, for righteousness, against wickedness, to know what to say when it can be encouraging. And you know, sometimes it is those times where it's just be quiet, to know when not to speak too, and to ask God to help me know the difference. You know, there have been times when I've been with people that are grieving, and I'm wondering what to say, and I'll just say this prayer. God, is there anything I can say right now to this person? And what I understand in my spirit is, no, just be with them. Sometimes it's just being with another person when they're hurting, when they're suffering, to let them know that you feel that pain, but also that you just want to be with them because you love them and care about them. And it's not about having to say anything. So what a wonderful thing. We can ask God to give us a spirit to know when to speak, and ask God to tell us when to speak and even when not to speak. Turn with me now over to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Notice here in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of countries, and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you." So Ezekiel chapter 36, to receive the ability to walk in God's ways apart from all iniquities and uncleanness, that there would be no famine in your life. To walk in God's ways. Have you ever found yourself struggling with obeying God? The truth is, we have a law that is within us in this carnal, fleshly mind and heart that constantly wants to bring us down and drag us down. You've probably heard me say, if you've listened to me teach much about how the law of gravity applies to this so well, that the law of gravity is always going on this earth. It's always present. And it always wants to bring back down, no matter what. If I step off the stage, it wants to pull me down to the next place it can bring me to. But what happens and what changes is the Spirit of God overcomes that. When we walk in the Spirit, as it says in Galatians 5, we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit of God is a stronger, more powerful law, that though the law of gravity is still in existence, the law of aerodynamics, which I liken to the law of the Spirit, lifts you up. And as long as you are applying the law of walking in the Spirit, you are lifted above what the law of gravity can do to you. It doesn't pull you down when you obey its laws. And the Spirit is given to help us. Look at these verses again and just take comfort in these verses. Again, in Ezekiel verse 27, "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." So here's for me what I do. I pray, God, help me to walk in your ways. Help me to understand your commandments, your ordinances, your statutes, your teachings. Help me to understand your word, that I can walk in your way. And what do I have confidence in? That God will bless me with his Spirit to help me walk in the Spirit, so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but I fulfill his word in my life. And that's what I encourage you to do. Put this one on your list. Write it down, to receive the ability to walk in God's ways. We do that by the Spirit and God's Spirit within us. He can remove from us all the uncleanness, delivering us and bringing us to a place where we walk with him. He can give us that very heart. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 14, Ezekiel 37, verse 14, God says, "I will put my Spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land." I will put my Spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord, that is Yahweh. So point number 25, that I may live and have the portion God intended for me, the land that he wants me to have. What a wonderful thing to even think about your life, as God having the power and the interest to say, I will give you my Spirit and I will put you in what I want you to have. You will have what I desire. And that should always be our prayer, that we fulfill the role in life that God wants us to fulfill, because he knows what he can give us and what he can't. A good father that we have in heaven knows what we need. And he knows most of all what we need is his Spirit to be a blessing to others, to receive of him and to receive the portion that he has laid out for us. Turn with me now over to Daniel chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Daniel chapter 4, so we continue this walk through the scriptures. Daniel chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. So again, point number 25 was that I may live and have the portion God intended for me. Point number 26, Daniel chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Daniel 4, verses 8 to 9, where it says, "But at last Daniel came before me, and his name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God." So this is one of my favorite Bible baseball. You ever play Bible baseball? I love this one. This is worth a double in my league. If you know what Daniel's other name was, what he was called by the king of Babylon, that's worth a double So if we're ever playing, I gave you one clue. That's a cheater. What do you call that? That's a hack into the game of David's Bible baseball. What was Daniel's other name? So there it is right there for you. We'll play that, God willing, someday with the kids. That'll be a lot of fun. So I don't know how I got off on that. Daniel chapter 4, verses 8. So it says that in him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. Now, Daniel was very much like Joseph in that he was able to tell dreams and tell what they meant. But I want you to see this because it wasn't something that just Daniel had. As I said, Joseph had this. But notice what it says. And no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions and the dreams that I have seen that I may have interpretation. So point number 26 in our Holy Spirit prayer list, to know secrets and not be troubled by them. To know the secrets and not be troubled by them. So that's number 26. Now, I want to add another verse here before we get to point 27. But adding to this in regard to interpretations of dreams, in verse 18 here it says, so this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able. Why? For the spirit of the holy God is in you. He understood this as the king, the ability to see this. Now look at chapter 5, verse 11. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him the chief of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. And then Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. What we can see here is of the spirit of God. When you don't understand something, when you're wondering what it means, when you're wondering if there's meaning to it at all, God, by His Spirit, can give you the understanding to interpret dreams, to understand visions, and to solve enigmas. So notice what our point number 27 is, that we, to receive light and understanding and excellent wisdom to interpret dreams and solve riddles and explain enigmas. Again, to receive light and understanding and excellent wisdom to interpret dreams and solve riddles and explain enigmas. You can pray to God for His Holy Spirit so that you can do this too. Ask God. God, as you've given it to Joseph, as you give it to Daniel, as you've given it to your men, to Peter, when he saw the vision from heaven, and the sheet and the unclean meats, to understand what it means. How did Peter understand what the vision of the sheet, and when he was being told to eat unclean meat, and Peter kept saying three times, he said, I don't eat unclean meat. But then he understood what the vision meant. It came by the Spirit of God and by revelation that the Gentiles, whom God had called clean, he should not call unclean anymore. And he understood it. And what it did was it gave him a revelation of a vision to understand, so then he could go apply it. And what did he do? He went to Cornelius. And what happened? He preached the gospel and told him that light had come to the Gentiles, and the Spirit of God fell upon the Gentiles, just as it did among the believers in Acts chapter 2. So just think of how powerful these things are that God can do through His Spirit to help you. Pray that God would give you the ability by His Spirit to understand, to be able to solve riddles to explain them and enigmas and to have interpretations of dreams. Notice with me now over in Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, and notice here in verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." When was this? We know there was a fulfillment actually of these verses in Acts chapter 2. This is what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost that we're now marching to, and we're on this third Sabbath as we count towards seven Sabbaths, to the model after the seventh Sabbath, to the day of Pentecost. We are counting to that, and it was on that day that Peter stood up, and when the Spirit of God was poured out, they spoke in other tongues, but they also gave this word, and Peter said, "You're seeing a fulfillment of this." The fulfillment of what happens when the Spirit of God comes and they speak in dreams, and young men shall see visions, and he pours out his spirit on everyone. And so you can add Joel 2:28 and Acts 2, but the point is, verse 28, to prophesy, to dream dreams, and to see visions. So we're getting just a little bit more of understanding and adding to that and understanding what God is doing. Now turn over with me to Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3, and notice with me in verse 8. I love these verses in Micah 3:8. Micah 3, verse 8. "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might." Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Do you think about having the Spirit of God to be able to effectively have the right spirit to effectively deliver what the sin is? Notice that he says that there is a need to be full of the power, the justice, and the might of God. The power, the justice, and the might of God, that he would receive that by the Spirit to declare what is sin and transgression. What a gift to be able to do this. You know, one of the things that we struggle with so much in this world is the timing and the spirit for when we declare transgression and sin. Now, we don't always know when to do it and whether it'll be received or not. I mean, God sent forth prophet after prophet after prophet, and they were generally rejected. People did not want to repent and return to God's ways. And as Jesus said, "You and your fathers, you've been killing the prophets. You've been putting them to death because you didn't want to hear them." The test of the effectiveness of what God wants is not based on how it's received, but it is based on what spirit you do it in. What do? We do not correct in a spirit of pride or in arrogance, but rather in humility with the Spirit of God in power and justice and in His might, declaring what He wills and what He wants. Now, I want you to kind of see something that we've been talking about through these verses and this list today. Because as you pray this through this Holy Spirit prayer list, what you should be seeing is how there are aspects of each of these things we're praying for that kind of blend together, that kind of help. So if you have an understanding of what is happening, and then you have the Spirit saying, "Speak," and then you have the power and the justice from which to speak in order to declare what is sin, but for what reason? And also in order to declare the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to release those who are under oppression. You see, these things are all part of one big master plan that God has by the pouring out of His Spirit. He is changing us. And what is the purpose of God changing us? To renew the face of the earth. And who is the earth? You are. And so just as we can go into Genesis 1 and we can see how the earth was taken out of the waters of death and from tohu and bohu to living, vibrant life, so it is with your life and my life. God takes us and He takes us from something that is void and without form, and it's like, well, it's not producing the fruit of my spirit, but I can change that. And what we're praying for is saying, God, I'm a cooperative planet of earth. Here I am in this body, in this jar of clay. I cooperate. And one of the things about the planet earth, when God went in Genesis 1 and the Spirit moved on the face of the waters and God said, let there be light. There was light. And when God did things on the earth submitted. But the thing is, God has given you and me the dignity of choice and the ability to make decisions in our lives. And we can resist Him if we so choose. He gives us that dignity to say, you can reject me if you want. Hebrews 10 warns about the rejection of the Spirit of grace. But our desire and our yearning should be to understand, wow, how different things can be in my life with the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, living in me, doing these things in me. This is why I need to be seeking the Holy Spirit. And as a church, we must always remember that we are the church because of the Spirit of God in us. It's not by our own intelligence, our own wisdom, our own understanding. It is by the Spirit of God in us. Because even how precious this word is, we don't understand it apart from God's Spirit in us to help us understand. We can be ever learning this word and not come to the truth if we don't have God's Spirit in us. We need to have God's Spirit. That is why I believe we are going through this list and why this topic has come up and why we are going through each of these points, because there's so much more for us. And we must remember the source of our understanding and the source of the power to minister and to serve, not only to be ministered to by God, but also to be able to minister to others. And so how beautiful these words are. Truly, again, Micah 3:8, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might. By the Spirit of the Lord to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So point number 29 in our list, to be full of the power and of justice and might of God to declare what sin and transgression is. All right, let's go on to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Notice with me here in Zechariah chapter 4. And notice in verse 6 of Zechariah 4 where it says, this is the word of the Lord of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Yahweh of hosts. Where are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he shall bring forth the stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. How do the mountains get knocked down in your life? God says it's not by your power or by your might. He says it's by my Spirit. And by the Spirit with shouts of grace, grace to it. I just quoted the verse in Hebrews chapter 10. And in that verse where it talks about the Spirit of grace, it says, if you sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the salvation and the sacrifice of Jesus, it says there remains no more sacrifice for you if that's what you choose. If you willfully choose to go a different way and sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice. He says, you've counted the blood of Christ as a common thing and you have rejected the Spirit of grace. In our lives, we should remember something very important about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that any sin that you do against the Son of Man, it can be forgiven. He said, you can speak against the Son of Man, that is Jesus, and it will be forgiven. But he says, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Why was the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit a sin that Jesus said it will not be forgiven? Because what is the essence of who we are and who we're supposed to be? It all happens by the Holy Spirit. If there's one thing going through this list and looking at these verses should be doing for us, we should understand how important, how necessary, how essential having the Holy Spirit is in our lives. We need the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, it's to your advantage I go away from you, Because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just toying around. He wasn't just playing with words. He's saying, don't you understand? You'll never be who you're supposed to be without the Holy Spirit. You can't be. You can't enter in. It is by the work of the Holy Spirit, the power, the justice, the might, the forgiveness, the convictions. The whole transformation of your life happens by the Holy Spirit. So what we need to understand is that we come to Jesus Christ and then we need the Holy Spirit. Now, frankly, we come to Christ only because of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that probably next time. But do you realize how important the Holy Spirit is in your life? Do you realize when Jesus was saying, you need to ask for this, you need to seek for this, you need to knock. And when he's saying, you know, if your son would ask you for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would you give him a serpent? And why was he talking in those terms? Because it should be understood the Holy Spirit is that to you every day. You are not being nourished if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And God is a good Father who gives His Holy Spirit to those who need the Holy Spirit in whatever way. But He's saying, I want you to ask. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep coming after me. For he who draws near to me, God says, I will draw near to him. So let's remember that. And remember that the mountains of our sin, of our stain, if you are having things in your life that you're like, I cannot overcome this, I want you to remember two prayers that we've gone through today. One is, that is by the Spirit we are delivered from our transgression and given a new heart to obey. And it is by His Spirit that the mountains come down and they're made like plains. And why is it made like a plain? So that a new foundation can be laid that is set. And that was what God was doing through Zerubbabel, laying a foundation. Verse 9 of Zechariah 4, it says, so the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will finish it, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Who's despised the day of small things? These seven rejoice to see the plumb line and the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro through the whole earth. God is rooting for you to realize that by His Spirit you can bring down the mountains and you can make them flat plains and you can lay forth foundations in Jesus Christ. This is what God is affording to us by the Holy Spirit. It's the power of transformation. Notice now, let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. And notice with me here in verse 12. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12, he says, yes, they made their hearts like flint, like a stone, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Sometimes that word that God sends is rejected, but nonetheless, what do we see? It was by the Spirit of God that He sent His word through the former prophets. God sends His word through His prophets. So point number 30 we had here, based on Zechariah 4, was to move mountains. Point number 31, to speak the word and law of God to others. To speak the word and law of God to others. Turn with me now over to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, where it says this, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. When you get that, let's just read that again. I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Why is he doing this? Why is he pouring out a spirit of grace and of supplication? Notice what he says. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Now, this verse in particular is very meaningful to me, because as a person that grew up in a Christian home and as a person who frankly had a desire within to do good things, I enjoyed actually obeying my parents. I wanted to be in their good graces. I loved their favor. I loved when they would pat me on the back and say, "Good boy, David. You know, good job, David." I loved it. I mean, I think a lot of us do, right? We like the approval. We like the encouragement to do good things, and doing good things is good. And I tended toward doing good things. I wanted that approval from my parents and my uncles and aunts and to be a part of that. But here's something that I realized as I got older. All of that had built within me a confidence in my own righteousness, a confidence in the works that I had done. And that is actually one of the most deceitful sins of all, the vanity of thinking that you are good of your own and that your own righteousness is enough. And somehow what that does is it makes you think, well, yeah, Jesus died, but how much did I really need that sacrifice? Now, I won't say it was as much as I just expressed right there, because I knew I was a sinner, but did I really know I was a sinner? And the truth was, I didn't really believe that I was responsible. I had always read the stories in the Gospels of Jesus as if I was one of his own disciples. I had always seen it from the standpoint that I was always with him, that I was always with Jesus and doing the right things. And certainly I grew up in a house where I was. I had known Jesus from birth. My parents taught me about him. I went to church. I went to Christian school every day. I learned this way. And so I associated myself as a disciple. But when I came to the point in my late 20s and I realized that I had not received of the Holy Spirit the way I was reading about in the Bible, the way we're going through it now together, and I realized I'm lacking. How is it that God's pouring His Spirit out on His servants in all these various and wonderful ways? I don't need all of them, but I would like to pray for all of them, and I would like to receive them when I need them. But I wasn't sensing God in my life. In fact, I found myself in a place of being against a wall and realizing I wasn't busting through. I was knocking, but the door was closed. I was seeking, but I wasn't finding. And ultimately, what I came to realize was I had never received an actual immersion and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened in my life, it came after a time of seeking where I said, "God, I will seek you. And if I have to seek you every day for the rest of my life and I never find you, so be it. At least I will enter into death knowing I sought you every day." And I went forward with that attitude, and I would get up at 5 a.m. and I would go out in the evening times and I would pray and seek. And so often it's like, "Are you even hearing me?" And in my desperation and feeling like I was going nowhere, God actually encouraged me with Lamentations 3 verses 22 to 28. If you've ever found yourself feeling like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, like you're not going anywhere, that your seeking of God isn't effective, read Lamentations 3, 22 to 28. Because when I saw those words, I got lit. And when I got lit, I got even so hungry that there was nothing that was going to stop me till I found my God. And what ended up happening was I did come to God, and what He revealed to me were all the fears that I was living by, all the desires for approval that I was living by, the being a man pleaser. He revealed to me my sin. He revealed to me how I was living just like a Pharisee in my own self-righteousness, and that I hadn't come to realize the truth, which He showed me, that I, David, was responsible for the death, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And once I received the vision to know that I had, it changed everything. I realized, as He took me to that moment, that though I could say I don't want to do it, I did nail His hands to that cross. And I did nail His feet to that cross. And when He was raised up on that cross, I knew that I was the one that put Him there. And as I saw Him being pierced and I cried, the mockers would come and say, "But don't you know you're the one that did that? Why are you crying? You did that." And it was in that sunkenness that I could see Jesus as I was always meant to see Jesus. And I cried for him like he was my own. Because I put him there. The revelation of the Spirit of grace and supplication came on me. The revelation that I received was, David, you are responsible for Jesus being on that cross. You. It only took you. You were the one. And in that revelation, I found a depth of sorrow and of hurt and just realizing what I had done to Jesus. And I was completely broken. And in the next moment, from that vision of understanding to the next, I was just sitting before him and he says, give me that. And he asked me for my heart. And I didn't want to give it to him. I'm like, no, how can I live without my heart? He said, give it to me. And I actually resisted the vision. No. And he just reached in and grabbed it. And when he pulled it out, it was just black and sickly looking. And he said, let me give you a new heart. And he gave me a heart that was healthy, that was strong. And he put it in and he said, now you can obey me. Now you can walk in my ways. But he had to give me a new heart, a different heart. And from the moment that that happened, I snapped out of that vision that I was in. And I immediately had all of the Bible that I had studied for so many years, so many hours. It all got reorganized and reordered in my brain and in my heart. And my mouth started to speak. And it wasn't like I'm speaking to you now where we're reading a verse and then I'm trying to impart understanding. I had understanding. I spoke verse upon verse upon verse upon verse. It just started spilling out of me. And for 45 minutes, I preached probably the best sermon I ever preached in my whole life. All I did was take the word of God and I laid one on another and just preached. And I knew what I was to do, and I knew why I was here, and I knew what God wanted me to be doing with my life. But he took me from a place where the Spirit of grace and supplication brought me to understand I was responsible. And in that, I realized the need of my Savior. And in him saying, let me help you obey me. How overwhelming is your love, God, that you not only rejected me when I was an enemy of yours and in my own pride and self-righteousness, but you helped humble me in the most gentle and gracious way that you could to bring me to a point of revelation and understanding so that I could see you, I could see me, and then I could really see you and be alive. See, when I read about Ezekiel now, and I'm like, that seemed like a dream, but no, I've been taken in vision. No, I've been taken to places. No, I've been given revelation and understanding. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. And I know what it is to go from a place of theory to practice because God has been gracious. He's been merciful. He heard my prayers. I asked for his Spirit over and over and over, and he brought me to a greater revelation. And if you've been around me in prayer meetings, you know that one of my great prayers, I pray it almost every week, God, give us a greater revelation of who you are. Because if we don't see him on the cross, if we don't see him pierced, if we don't see what he's done for us, if we don't have that gravity, how desperate are we going to be? And my friends, this is what drives me to say we need to have prayer meetings before every service. Because I know I am not capable of any good way to help you without God. I want you to know that and say, we really need to pray for David. Like, we got to get together for this guy. Because if he's going to stand up, how is he going to deliver anything good if God is not pouring his Spirit on him and helping him to do better? And it goes for the worship team and everybody who speaks the Scripture and people who take responsibility. But it goes for every one of us because we are all engaged when a service ends in some form of fellowship. Now, we might not be physically together, but you can still engage in fellowship after the service. You can do the Zoom technology. You can FaceTime people. You can talk to them. Have fellowship. Give encouragement. Give love. Mourn with those who are mourning. You can be a servant no matter where you are. We might be told right now to stay at home and shelter in place. You can still leave your house in many different ways to be of service to others. You were called to be a minister to others, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people. You can do that. Take of yourself and say, God, make me what you want me to be. But the heart for it begins here. Just read this with me one more time here. In verse 10, this is Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Why was the woman who came to Jesus, who came and threw herself down, who washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair and kissed him, why did she do that? Because she knew who she was. He revealed by a spirit of grace and supplication exactly who she was. And she realized everything else of what people think, everything else of what even I think doesn't matter. Here is my Savior. And that is the fundamental foundation that we as Christians must always be coming to and never leaving that moment, because the connection that we have to Christ is through his sacrifice. His love was demonstrated by his sacrifice, and we need the Spirit to continually remind us that it was his sacrifice that set us apart for his glory and for his good. Can you just take a moment and realize how much Jesus loves you? Because those hands created the universe. God made everything through him. Can you take a moment and just realize that God has poured his Spirit into you to even understand that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the one who died for you? And just take a moment right now to be thankful for the Spirit of grace, to be thankful for the ministry that he did. Humans don't know this. My friends, I just want you to think about the way God decided to do all of this was to take almost the most preposterous of things that the Greeks and the Jews, the unbelievers, they reject. They said, this is such a foolish message. And 1 Corinthians talks about it. It's a foolish message. But to us, it's the power of God. To us, it's what changes our lives. To us, it's what transforms, because through the belief in who Jesus is, your whole heart is transformed. The culture is different. And the Spirit, which may have been rejected at first, now is welcome to come in. And as you accept of the sacrifice of Jesus and put your hope and faith in God, the Spirit of the Lord rushes in. And now there's transformation. But if you're finding that you are struggling, even through the prayer list, of really grasping what's needed, not just in a way of knowledge, but in a way of apprehension, in a way of experience with God and a walk with God, I would ask you to go back to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 and just say, have I come to this moment? Because it is a gospel moment. It is the good news moment. And the good news is not ignoring your sin. The good news is acknowledging your sin. The good news is confessing your sin. It's laying yourself before God and say, I'm a sinner and I need you so much. Sometimes we get into a game in church where it's like, well, we all got to pretend that we're perfect and put on facades. Guys, this is the place for healing. This is the place for honesty. This is the place for truth. This is the place for coming for the justice of the Lord and the working of God in your life by his Spirit. This is the place. God is beckoning you to come. He's saying, look at the gift I've given for you. Look at what I do for you. And your faith in Him will bring about a belief that translates into you receiving of the Holy Spirit. You did not receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law. You received the Holy Spirit by faith. It's by faith in Him. And it is only when you receive Him and receive of the Holy Spirit that you can even begin to truly obey Him in spirit and truth. There's no other way. So we're going to end here, but I would ask you, wherever you are in your home today, to take a moment after this worship service to pray to God through these things and end on this one. And just ask the simple question, God, am I here? Have I ever really understood this? Have I ever realized my responsibility? Have I ever really taken the sacrifice of Christ serious for me? Not just in having knowledge of the story of this, but having the knowledge that it was personal, that it was intimate, and that He did it willingly for you and me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that You would bless us, that the words we have read today would become alive and meaningful in our lives, and that they would change our course, that we would be always pursuing after You, and that You would give us the infilling of Your Spirit to just know You more. And Father, we just love You so much, and we ask that You would fill our heart, that Your love would be shed abroad in our hearts by Your Spirit, that we could become Your children who imitate You, who love You, who have hearts of thanksgiving and humility, and who want to give of all the blessing of life that You've given to us in service to You and to those around us. Please help us, Father, to truly appreciate Jesus and the sacrifice that He has given. And may that foundation always be in us. And may it always be something that is strong and powerful in our lives to realize it was Your love that brought us to You. It was Your justification of us that brought us back, and it all happened through Him. Praise be to You, Holy Father, for sending Your Son, and praise be to You, Jesus, for giving Your life and ushering us into this relationship with our Father and Your Father, with our God and Your God. You are the mighty Savior and King, and we love You, and we worship You, and we bow ourselves before You with thanksgiving to thank You for Your works and to thank You, Holy Father, for the things You've done through Him. May we be imitators of You in all that we do. And we ask You for Your Holy Spirit and the conviction of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.